I got a question about one of the other teachings. I don't know if it was the what are my steps? I'm not sure.
Okay.
When you were talking about judging, so when I'm listening to that, and I almost have the feeling that anything you say about someone is judging at some level.
The how you do it, because remember now, and that's a good question. It's a good thing because we do have to be careful because as it says, 1 Corinthians 5, we are responsible for judging those in the church. But with that said, we are never to pass judgment on them. So these terms sound like they're different and translate, and they can get caught in translation. But to understand what they mean, to first of all, okay, passing judgment is me already labeling the person that thing. You are going to hell. You know what I mean? If I said that to somebody, I pass judgment on. I have already condemned them. I have no right to do that. Even though what I see them doing is 100% wrong, it's not for me to say they're going to hell, just like it's not for me to say they're going to heaven. Hey, you're a great person. That is passing judgment. Now, for me to encourage them is to say, hey, that thing that you did based on the Bible is, and now I'm encouraging. I'm trying to let them understand so they see the path that they're going in is either wrong or is either right. But I'm doing it in such a way that I'm trying to help them. So I got to keep my attitude, my feelings, and everything out of it because it becomes about me and how I feel, and it becomes a hit against them. So we do have to be very careful. When it comes to the world, we are not to judge them at all. Our thing is to minister to the world. So people who are not Christians, we have no right to judge. God is saying, I don't want you to judge them. I want you to make yourself slaves to them in order to win them because they don't know. They're already condemned, and our job is to get them into Christ so they may see where they're at. The reason why we have to judge Christians is because we know better, or we should know better because we have access to it. So the question isn't everything we say is a judgment. I think what we need to learn is how to judge. I probably need to do that in an upcoming study because there is a way we are supposed to judge, but there is a way to do it. And the way we do it today is we criticize and we add a lot of our own opinion, which is very dangerously wrong.
So I guess that's maybe your opinion. Say someone in the church, say they're a Christian, but they're not getting true teachings, and they're saying things that are wrong in the Bible, or they're doing things that are contrary.
Yep.
Or you say something about them, or you judging them, are they really in the church?
Right. That's so. And that's one of those in which you do have to go through that. That's where Matthew 18 comes in, where if your brother sins against you, if they're in the church and they're and 1 Corinthians 5 also covers this because it says somebody who calls himself a brother. So if they say they are, then I have the ability, and we have a lot of people that call themselves Christians, in the most loving and gentle and respectful way to ask. We tend to go, no, you're not. You know what I mean? We're not a Christian. You know you're not a Christian. Now, we know they're not a Christian, and hopefully we know it the right way and not because of our judgment. The Bible says we must know them because he says you'll know them by their fruit, and we got to recognize them. But with that said, if they think they are, then my next job is to get them to see that they're not, but to do it in a way that they see. That's why it says to help them to see. But I got to remove my plank. If I come to them, I'm telling them they're not a Christian, but here I am being bitter and yelling at them, cursing them, calling names. They're going to go, well, neither are you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we got to be careful in those cases. So this is where Christians have to really realize the whole pattern. We have this all mixed up because we added too much of ourselves. We mixed a whole lot of man, and then we tried to bring in God. And it's a mess right now. You're absolutely right. So when we now try to approach, now you have Christians out going, I'm not saying anything to anybody. That's wrong. That's very wrong. But then you get the other ones that say everything to everybody. That's wrong because you're not being careful. It is strategic. It is shrewd. It is careful. It is gentle because I can say something and I can cause you to stumble if I'm not careful. But the more careful I am, the more I see, you know what? This is how I'm going to say it. This is what I'm going to say. This is how I'm going to approach it.
So then my other question was about music. So if a person, this is, well, of course, a recording artist, and are we supposed to look at the lyrics and make sure they're scriptural and but not look at the what the artist supports or believes in. Just look at the music itself. Like, for instance, if the artist is someone that supports homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So we don't look at that. We just look at the music and whether it lines up with the word.
That's exactly, yes. So this is why we don't want to, just like even with ministers, even just like what we seen when with Solomon, who was inspired to give all the stuff he gave, and then we saw how his life ended. In all that case, if the word is solid with God, praise God. Remember that one verse where he said, one preached Christ for the right reason, the other preached Christ for money gains. He said, it doesn't matter as long as they're preaching Christ. So if the song is solid in Christ, praise God. So that's why I don't get caught up in artists. Some people get caught up in artists, and that's dangerous because then we start holding the artist up. And then the minute they do something bad, then we're crushed and whatever. And you know what I mean? Messages and certain things, you can get certain messages that are solid. And as long as the message itself is solid, praise God in it. But you still want to minister to that person if they are still thinking wrong or have wrong things. And then watch out, because if they have wrong beliefs, those things are going to end up in their teachings and in their music. And that's what you got to watch out for.
Well, then it makes me wonder, like, you know, that God can use anybody, like, you mm-hmm. know, like the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same kind of thought process, how you look at it?
Kind of, but I wouldn't run use it that way, but that is true. God can and he will. We just got to be careful not to use that as an excuse, because what ends up happening is we'll use that as an excuse and give people passes and not minister to people. But yes, you're right. You could be ministered by so many things. I was ministered by a worldly movie one time. There was a movie that came on, and I remember after it went through it, my nephew, I remember, said, you got to watch this movie. And I'm like, okay, and we watched it. And he was right. It was one of the things that really showed something in the Bible, and it wasn't meant to be biblical. It was meant to be entertaining, and it did a better job than most of the Christian ones did. So it was one of those of, you know what? It was like, sometimes we can be so shut down, we miss these shrewd opportunities. Now, with that said, we just got to be careful and understand that God is going to use certain things. And he used Pharaoh, because basically Pharaoh was used to minister to the Israelites. You understand that, you know, that's why he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, Pharaoh was evil in every way, and he never gave him that, but he still used Pharaoh in that. So yeah, that can happen, but it is our responsibility to make sure we're doing the filtering and the gauging of what we're taking in.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other question?
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it talks about women not having authority over men. So in the commentary of the Bible that I have, I think it's the NIV, it's the Zondervan, however you pronounce it. In the commentary, it says Paul is only talking about the women of Ephesus because they were young converts and weren't mature enough. And also they talked about other women in the Bible who seemed to have authority over men, Deborah and some other women. But in the Tony Evans commentary that I read, it says Paul is talking about the hierarchy of God. God is head of Christ. Christ is over man. Man is over woman. So if I were asked by somebody who leans on the first commentary about it only be about the women of Ephesus, would my response be, the commentary you read is interesting, but can you show me where in the Bible that it rescinds that women cannot have authority over man?
Yes, exactly. And that's why I tell people, please be careful of commentary. There's a lot of commentary. If they're just informative of history and stuff like that, that's one thing. When they give you an answer not to or distort that scripture, it better give you scripture to back it up. If it doesn't give you scripture to back it up, you cancel that commentary, because that commentary saying about the people of Ephesus and all this other stuff, you could do that with all the books of the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible did he say everything in the book of Ephesus is just for the people of Ephesus. The book of Ephesians wasn't just meant for the people of Ephesus, and the book of Corinthians wasn't just meant for the people in Corinth. The Bible was made for all of us. He says all scripture is God breathed. So we got to be very careful of that. But you get some that'll read that, and they'll read that commentary and go, oh, okay. And you're right, because we're going after desire instead of going after the right answer. The final thing has to be, and I'm glad how you said that, that's interesting, but can you show me that in the Bible? Because the next step will be, I hear what the commentary is saying, but what if it's wrong? And that's a good answer of, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible, and then use that same argument. So you're absolutely right. Very well handled.
And my second question is 1 Corinthians 10:23, where it talks about everything is permissible but not beneficial. Is this specifically talking about my freedoms and causing people to stumble, or can it also be used in me like eating clean or unclean food, or eating junk food, or not exercising? It's permissible, I can do it, but it's not beneficial to my temple.
Exactly. So you have some things that thing is leaning towards that's for eternal. So there's certain things that we do down here that God says, go ahead and do it, but it could lead to our eternal death and eternal destruction, eternal this. Those are the very dangerous things. So they're not beneficial, even though I'm doing them, I might feel like I'm enjoying it. But there are some things that even in the temporary, so it's not going to make me go to hell if I keep eating junk food, but it can really give me a bad temporary life and stuff that I shouldn't have to go through. So he's saying, even though I can do it, doesn't mean it's always good to do it. So that does cover everything. And so that's where wisdom really comes in. So that verse really hits upon that. That's why he's saying, I will be mastered by nothing. But in the second time it says that. So absolutely. So it's talking about the eternal things in our spiritual walk, but it's also talking about some of the basic wise things in life also.
Thank you.
Yep. Other questions? We're all good? All right. Praise God. All right. Oh, that's a thumbs up, not a hands up. Okay, praise God. She becomes a Zoom expert if you notice she uses all of her Zoom tools that she comes with her. So, amen. So, let us pray. And oh, wait, she raised her hand. What's going on now? You got a question?
No, sorry.
Okay. She misused her Zoom tools. Okay. All right, let's pray out, y'all. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we thank you so much, dear God, for this opportunity to come and to receive your word. Help us to continue to study together and really make our priorities straight. We do ask for continual special prayer on Luke's family and all that are suffering from the losses and the things that are going on, but also placing our minds, dear Lord, nothing is promised to us and we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Help us to live each day, dear Lord, with the understanding of what we are supposed to do and not take anything for granted. Help us to look out for these that are struggling and keep him in our prayers, for you to keep him in your comfort, dear Lord, and to guide his aunt now that is going to have to be his mother to really be able to watch over and for her to really come to you, dear Lord, to give her peace in you as well. We look to you, dear God, as we continue on throughout the week, that we can be a blessing, that we can minister to others, that we can not be a stumbling block, that we can always be a light that guides people back to you. We thank you for all that you continue to do and all these blessings we ask, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say amen. Y'all have a good night. Love y'all.
Love you. My family.